200 years earlier, the soft hum of equipment echoed within the sterile walls of the observation room, screens casting a pale blue glow on the faces of the two scientists hunched over their monitors. Dr. Evelyn Harper adjusted her wire-framed glasses, a perpetual crease etched between her brows, her graying auburn hair pulled back in a tidy yet slightly disheveled bun, a reflection of her meticulous yet fraying demeanor. Beside her, Dr. Meera Patel tapped on her screen, the rhythmic drumming matching the gentle sway of her sleek black ponytail. "It's incredible, Evelyn," Meera said, leaning back in her chair and stretching her slender arms overhead. "We've managed it. Melanistic and albino variants from the Florida Panthers. Who would have thought such stark genetic changes were achievable?" Evelyn sighed, her tired eyes scanning the data. All this to fulfill a billionaire's whim, to finish the thesis his late son started. She didn't look away from the screen. It's remarkable what a parent will do to preserve their child's legacy. Meera nodded, her features softening. "Still, the preserve is impressive. Jungles, grasslands, mountains, swamps. The complexity is staggering. Each environment tailored for our engineered panthers to adapt and evolve." Evelyn glanced at her colleague, fingers hesitating over the keyboard before she spoke. "Did you read the latest instructions about the control group, the panthers at the bridge entrance?" "Yes," Meera replied, her dark eyes reflective. "Conditioning through shock collars, never to cross the boundary. Generations will be trained to fear a single tree bridge. It's a page right out of Pavlov's notebook. I hate it." "Me too. They'll never leave the control site," Evelyn murmured, shaking her head. "And they won't survive without an intervention. Their numbers decline with every breeding cycle." Meera sat forward again, her voice more certain. "I've been working with the non-control groups, trying something else. I started placing calabash gourds near their perimeters, hollowed and filled with valerian root. The scent calms them, draws them in. They respond to it naturally, without distress. No panic, no pain. Just gentle reinforcement." Evelyn raised an eyebrow. "Valerian?" "It works," Meera said. "Some of the melanistics rub against the gourds. The albinos curl near them during storms. The response is consistent, even across litters. They've begun to treat them as part of their environment. Something familiar, maybe even meaningful." "They'd never approve it for the control group," Evelyn muttered. "Too many uncontrolled variables." Meera stood, pacing across the room, her slender figure silhouetted against the observation window overlooking the lush jungles beyond the fake baobab trees. "It's ironic, isn't it? We design these vast environments, grant them a controlled paradise, then seal them inside invisible cages. And now, we've divided them further. Black panthers near the ocean, white panthers in the jungles, just to track genetic responses." "It's not sustainable," Evelyn admitted, exhaustion pulling at her voice. "And have you seen the latest market reports? If our benefactor's portfolio collapses, we'll be called back to America before the study's complete. What happens to these poor creatures then?" Meera shook her head, eyes solemn and introspective. "They adapt or perish. Evolution will take its course without us. Perhaps one day they'll uncover the truth of this place and decipher our symbols." Evelyn glanced at the scattered notes before her, instructions inside the trees etched with English letters and symbols, words like "name here," "by height here," carefully selected for tracking records but meaningless to the panthers they observed. "Perhaps," Evelyn echoed in a smug tone, They'll build their own meanings around the remnants we've left. Oh, do be serious, Mira. Mira's shoulders drooped, her posture deflating beneath Evelyn's dismissive words. She turned away, staring out into the artificial wilderness beyond the glass, her optimism fading into silent resignation. Weeks later, the anticipated call came. Global markets crashed, plunging humanity into unprecedented chaos. Evelyn and Mira packed their essential belongings, anxiety deepening the lines on their faces as they moved through the facility with practiced efficiency and unspoken dread. The room felt quieter than usual. The hum of the generators still droned. The monitors still flickered with data no one would finish reading. Mira paused at the door to the observation room, her eyes drifting once more toward the jungles outside. Neither scientist looked back as their boat pulled away from the island shore. Each woman sat with her own thoughts, their ambitions and regrets suspended in the uncontaminated air they no longer controlled. In their absence, the Panthers did, indeed, adapt, evolving far beyond the designs once etched into their DNA. The artificial divisions intended for study calcified into tribal ideologies, igniting 2 centuries of brutal conflict, known in Panther lore as the Purity Wars. But even these manufactured hatreds, passed down like birthright, began to erode under the demands of survival. The Panthers chose their own leaders. They formed councils, not by mark or lineage, but through trial and experience. The old control codes faded from memory, but the scars of separation endured. Generations lived in fear until one golden panther, the last of his kind, crossed the forbidden boundary. He did so without permission and without ritual. His quiet defiance shattered old beliefs, and through his son, Raza, a new truth took root. Under Raza's leadership, the Panthers destroyed the old calabash gourds, once carried by humans to pacify and control them. In the years that followed, Raza unraveled the false lines drawn by their creators, uniting the fractured clans into a single, sovereign wild. And so began the true wilds of Namiri. Not the sterile experiment of 2 distant scientists, but a thriving land born of pain, choice, and untamed resilience.